Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable this morning. Very nice to have you with us, and very nice to be back. My thanks to Ray Graff for filling in yesterday. Let me introduce our panel, and we'll get started here. First of all, okay, I'm going to go to Rosemary first because Alan's eating a pretzel. Rosemary Armeo, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I wish I had a pretzel.
Me too.
There's a whole, they're in the green room.
There's a big thing out there.
Yeah,
there's popcorn. I saw I had to.
We made the mistake of getting pretzels for the entire, these big, giant things of pretzels. And now it's become the WAMC breakfast and lunch of choice.
I love pretzel rods like that.
Yeah.
It's my undoing.
Well, we thought that one of those things would last us a fun drive. We didn't realize that it would last us, like 8 years of our.
Right.
Yeah. But
after a while,
great.
It gets a little, Yeah. Right. So you got to watch out.
It's very good. So good morning. And all right. You good?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm running.
Didn't Jimmy Carter almost die? Something like that.
No, it was George Bush.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter was the killer rabbit.
Yes.
Right. What did George Bush do?
He was eating a pretzel.
On a pretzel.
Really?
Yeah, and he fell down, and people rushed in, and they gave him a little Heimlich, and he was fine.
Yeah. He looked very presidential at the time.
Yes. Doesn't he always, though?
Libby Post is with us, our political, not our, but a political consultant.
Well,
but she is ours, yes.
Are you want to run for something?
And we love when she's here. So
yeah, thank
you very
much,
Libby. And, of course, Alan Jartok. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. So here's where we are. I want to start with this story. I think it's interesting. Also, somewhat of a local story, and that is that the New York Attorney General is now looking into the Trump Foundation. House Democrats are asking for a justice investigation. Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee are asking the Justice Department to investigate the circumstances surrounding a $25,000 donation that the Donald J. Trump Foundation made to Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi at a time when her office was considering whether to open a fraud investigation of Trump University. The letter, signed by all the committee's Democrats, alleges that the donation in 2013 may have influenced Mrs. Bondi's official decision not to participate in litigation against Mr. Trump. Separately, the New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said on CNN Tuesday that his office was concerned that the Trump Foundation may have engaged in some impropriety and had, quote, been looking into the Trump Foundation to make sure it's complying with the laws that govern charities in New York State.
I guess Trump will be offering him some money today, huh?
Yeah.
Not having anything at all to do with this investigation.
Right. He'll make from his foundation, no less, and then he'll pay the IRS another $2,500 fine. I mean, when you play like this with 501c3s and foundations and you skirt the rules, it hurts him a little. But it really hurts the rest of us who are involved in the nonprofit community. It hurts WAMC. It hurts all of us because it puts a specter on nonprofit organizations that we don't need that stink. And, he's just bringing more stink.
Could you go back, Libby, just because I think there'll be some people who have missed some of what you're talking about, which is the fine that
right.
the Trump organization
right.
made.
Right, because they illegally gave from a 501c3, the Trump Foundation, a political contribution, which is illegal to do.
Charities
are not allowed to get involved in electoral politics. They are not allowed to back a candidate. Because he did that to Biondi out of the foundation, he got fined $2,500, which for him is a slap in the wrist. For other people, for other organizations, it's a lot of money. But what it does do is put sort of a stink on other good, well-meaning, especially people like the Clinton Foundation
right.
and other good organizations out there, where it raises the specter of, well, if he's doing it, who else is doing it, and why should I give my money to these organizations if people can just skirt the law?
And I think people can't distinguish between one non-for-profit and another.
I think people who are philanthropists do. I think people who don't really understand the difference between a foundation and a C4 or C5 and all the different kinds of organizations out there, I think it just adds to their skepticism. I wonder if you did a poll of Trump supporters, how many of them actually give to charity?
So the Trump camp says that the $25,000 charity contribution to the Florida AG was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the question I have for Alan.
All right.
Of the New York Attorney General's announcement, Trump communications advisor Jason Miller said, quote, "Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is a partisan hack who has turned a blind eye to the Clinton Foundation for years and has endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. This is nothing more than another left-wing hit job designed to distract from crooked Hillary Clinton's disastrous week."
Well, look, let's face it. That is what you would expect him to say. And here's what's bothering me the most about this whole thing, and that is that I can't really figure out whether or not it will hurt anything except those in the middle who are scratching their heads and saying, you know, I have to decide whether I want to vote, you know, for Trump or for Clinton. However, I think for those people who are committed to Trump, that statement that he made will be sufficient. In other words, that's exactly the way these people are. And where they've been on the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Foundation, Clinton Foundation, Clinton
right.
Foundation, Clinton
right.
Foundation, as if the Clinton Foundation isn't this fantastic charity that has done all this great work. It doesn't matter. I keep trying to tell all of the people who ask me about this that this is an election. It's just a question of propaganda 101.
Right. And don't confuse anyone with the facts.
Well, I was going to say that on the national and on the state level, there has not been enough checking of these organizations, Libby, the opposite of what you're saying. When the IRS was caught looking extra hard at conservative groups, it resulted in this backlash. Okay, you know, the IRS has an axe to grind. Get the guy out of there. Mm-hmm. Impeach the guy who's in charge.
A woman, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the guy. Her successor is also under fire to be impeached. Just get rid of those guys, and we're not looking at any organization.
I.e., get rid of the IRS.
Yeah, well, I don't think the IRS did a good job, and now they've made this atmosphere where Schneiderman should have been looking at the Trump Foundation and the Clinton Foundation before this, I think. And here's one other thing.
Yes?
The Washington Post has been the leader in going after Trump's charitable giving, looking at how he's not contributed mm-hmm. to his charities, that he takes money from certain people and then gives it in his own name as if he were the big, you know, the big Santa Claus.
Yes.
Why isn't the New York Times printing this? We're back, you know, we're back in the old days of competition. They didn't report it, so they're not spreading it. That is a huge story.
There's two issues, and I don't know the extent of them. One, I do know that there has been some question of the specifically on the gifts that were given. Some question about the Washington Post, because people are saying that they're giving $5,000 or $10,000, and the Washington Post has reported that when they contacted the group, they had never given the money. Mm-hmm. Three or four groups have come mm-hmm. out over in the last couple of days and say, okay, well, they did give us the money. And what has happened is because it was often given to splinters of those particular charities. A lot of times it was the names that were filed wrong. It all comes down to basically not the Post's fault, but more the Trump's filings as to where
Correct.
That money went, so that you would have, and I'm just making this up, like the Jackson Foundation, and there'd be one in Key West, Florida, and there would be one in Wisconsin, and the way they call the one in Wisconsin, and there wasn't, you know, they didn't give anything, and then it turns out to be the one in Key West. So I don't know if that has an impact on it. Of course, that allows the Trump campaign to say that it's shoddy reporting on
which it is not shoddy,
but it's not.
Shoddy reporting on their end.
I think David Fahrenthold will be ending up winning a Pulitzer Prize for this work. He'll certainly be a contender for it. In the meantime, the election will be over, and the impact that his work has, I'm not sure we'll have it.
So let me just ask you this question for all of you, and that is, so meanwhile, as we talk about foundations, President Obama was out on the campaign trail yesterday. He was in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Art Museum, and was speaking and said, if you want to debate foundations and charities, one candidate's family foundation has saved countless lives around the world. The other candidate's foundation took money other people gave to his charity and then bought a 6-foot-tall painting of himself. Obama added to laughter. I mean, you know, he had the taste not to go for the 10-foot version.
Yes, that was great.
Best line.
Well, here was Obama having the time of his life.
He was having fun.
Right. Let's face it. And that is good news and bad news. It's great news for Obama. It's great news for Hillary because Hillary is ill and Obama is doing this work as a surrogate. But it's not such good news for Hillary because a lot of people will be making these comparisons and saying, gee, if Hillary could only act that way, if Hillary could only be that way.
I can't remember who said it. It was one of the many thousands of commentators on cable television. But they said, Hillary needs magic, and she can't do it herself. That's okay. She's got other talents. She knows policy and detail, but she doesn't do the magic thing. Biden does.
Yeah.
Michelle does. Mm-hmm. Definitely Obama does.
Now, the other thing I heard from one of the talking points is that, sure, you can say that about Hillary and that she needs these people, but she has a large and very deep bench of great speakers to go out.
Right.
Trump does not.
He has Pence.
Right, because nobody else is going to stand up for
him. But nobody knows who Pence is, really.
Right.
And when he does, he says things like,
David Duke's okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's not deplorable. I'm not going to call anybody names.
I'm not going to call a white supremacist who advocates
I want to get more into, we'll talk a little bit more about Mike Pence in a second. But the other, of course, issue is that is this new? Oh, okay.
Well, see, there aren't people who are, there are people.
No,
who are
I was
radio
just
who
looking. So originally, because I was just about to say it, I was just getting get to the story. But the Donald Trump campaign announced that they were going to give the results of his health results,
physical, right.
And he was going to do it on the Dr. Oz show. Right. And I was just about to read that, only to look up to see that on television it says he will not disclose physical results on Dr. Oz.
You're misled by the breaking news, which CNN now puts on every story.
Yes.
He actually, Dr. Oz himself yesterday said he wouldn't ask him questions that would make Trump uncomfortable.
Oh, please.
And if he didn't want to announce the results of the physical, he wouldn't force it. So in other words, the no holes barred.
And Kellyanne Conway is like, oh, she needs to disclose, but he doesn't.
Can I?
Yeah.
I'm going to defend Dr. Oz for a second. Okay?
I want to hear it.
All right.
We're waiting.
Because the whole remarks that I heard that he gave on Sirius XM yesterday on his show, he said, look, I'm a doctor. I'm not a political journalist. I'm a doctor. And he's a guest on my show. I'm going to ask him questions, and I'm going to ask him questions that he feels are appropriate. Now, do I think that he should go and answer questions in another venue? Yes. Do I feel that he should give a report to the people so they know? Yes. Am I going to grill him for an hour on my show? No.
And one other question. Have I talked to the Trump people before he came on my show?
Well,
and
right.
Established
so,
some of these
but
rules?
You don't expect. I mean, that's why you're going to go. That's why you're going to go on. But I don't think that's Dr. Oz's fault. I think that is the fault of the campaign to decide to do that.
Joe, it's Dr. Oz's fault.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's his fault.
3-1.
Who is he kidding?
Yeah, he's taking a fall.
Right.
That's what he's doing. And it also raises the issue.
The guy has a TV show and he wants people to watch it, and he knows people will watch.
Right,
it.
That's correct, and therefore he's making a deal with the devil. But one really has to just take a look at this thing and say, why is Trump hiding his tax returns? Why is Trump hiding his medical issues?
Well, right.
Especially since his team is out there beating Hillary up.
That's right.
Who did the physical? That's a doctor question. Who did this result? That would be something that any doctor. You have these tests. Where did they come from? Kellyanne's not revealing it. Says she doesn't know. Trump hasn't revealed it. There's no way he can do what he says he's going to do. It's just not a decent interview.
And Dr. Oz
by the way,
should know better.
I'm not disagreeing with you. It should have never even come up in the first place. I don't believe he should have ever agreed to go on Dr.
Right.
Oz.
Well,
I'm not saying that Dr. Oz
should never have invited him, knowing that this was going to turn into a political firestorm and he was going to be caught in the middle of it. I don't agree with you. Okay, fine.
I don't agree with you.
We're pointing fingers.
Think it's not. It is not. It is not Dr. Oz's Trump's issue. It is Dr. Oz.
I agree with
made
Alan.
A deal.
Okay,
yes.
So
well, that's what I'm saying.
You
so
set
Hillary
conditions.
Made a deal.
You agree to the conditions.
Hillary Clinton goes on Jimmy Kimmel, and they're going to talk about her health, and he gives her a pickle jar, and it's funny.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the difference? You know the rules. You know you're not going to get any hard-hitting questions on Jimmy Kimmel. You know you're not going to get any hard-hitting questions on Fallon.
Here's
you
the
know
difference.
You're not going to get any hard-hitting questions on Dr. Oz. They're
Here
all entertainment
is
shows.
The difference.
Yes,
Hillary
Rosemary.
Went on the entertainment show after she had released pages and pages of conditions of her physical condition. And I think now she must and she has to come out with more mm-hmm. that show the pneumonia, if there's any underlying condition. And she says she will do. At this
how
point,
how do you get to be a 68? How old is the guy? 70 years old?
70 years 70. Old.
How do you get to be 70? Look, I'm 75. I take pills at night for this or that. Everybody, you know.
Well,
I mean,
and
yeah,
that is, but I don't disagree that all of that information should come out. My question is why was that? Because my understanding originally was that it was going to be released, and then he was going to go on the Dr. Oz show.
Right.
But then
and
it became, he's just going to go on the Dr. Oz show as if he is some, which again brings it into the reality television realm.
You bring Hillary on to Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
To do the pickle jar. Jimmy Kimmel's not a doctor. They can talk about her health. She can open up the pickle jar.
Yeah, but so Dr. Oz isn't her doctor.
No, but Dr. Oz is a doctor.
Can you remind me?
Nobody looks to Jimmy. No,
I got to know what the pickle jar is all about.
So Jimmy Kimmel
gave her a pickle jar to open up to see how strong she was.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nobody expects Jimmy Kimmel to really profoundly opinionate about Hillary's health.
Nor do I expect that from Dr. Oz, and that is my point.
But the thing is, the rest of the world does because he's a doctor, and they listen to him, and they want to know how it is that they should be pooping, and all the rest of the stuff that he does on the air. And the fact is that they are going to look to him for some kind of.
How did this become about pooping?
And why is he going on the show?
Well, that's right.
Because he's an entertainer.
Right.
It's all one big reality show,
exactly.
And that's not what the president.
There still is the HIPAA laws and all that stuff, and you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
you
if
can't,
the person
that's
decides
correct.
To disclose,
person
that's
right.
their
you
business.
Bypass that's it, but
right.
that's not
that's
a concern.
Right, right. Yeah. But this is people are going to go on and say, "Oh well, Dr. Oz asked him these sort of questions, and he said he was healthy, so that's okay." And that's what's going to happen, and that's what will reinforce Trump's people.
And that's right. And his group won't care.
Right,
they just won't
they don't care anyway.
Care.
I like the long-haired doctor with the
he
earrings.
Is like
I
a
want him.
Of the century.
I know. I want him on Dr. Oz. Now, that'd be entertaining.
What is that?
He was on
Mitchell
Radner.
People are all saying things I don't understand.
No, this was the original doctor.
The original doctor said he was
who wrote the report in December.
The healthiest doctor, ever.
The long-haired hippie.
Last night he was on Rachel Maddow, and he was like, "Yeah, well, I sort of made some of this up." And his wife was like, "Well, yeah, my husband."
That's old
footage.
Yeah,
it was just
been out before NBC.
I know,
original.
But it's just amazing that people take this guy seriously. So,
all right. So let's. That was
okay.
Spirited.
Yeah,
that
what
that was
say.
Spirited. All right. So let's take a break.
So
we'll,
we decide we're hanging Dr. Oz, right?
We
got outvoted.
Peter Blue wanted us to know it worked for Trump, even if you guys are talking about Dr. Oz, not the issue, says Peter Blue.
Well, I think that is one of the issues, isn't it? But we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll discuss other issues as well. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. And we'll be back with Alan and Rosemary and Libby next. Good morning, and welcome back to the program. We were doing some fact-checking during the break. So according to the polls this morning, the updated polls, which were updated, we learned 21 minutes ago, that Hillary Clinton has a 79% chance of winning the presidency. This, according to the New York Times and their upshot. And this is the Nate Cohn Project. And then, according
that being
to
down,
the
Joe, I just want to point out 90-10. So he's making progress.
And the national polling average is Hillary Clinton 44%, Donald Trump 41%, and a three percentage point difference. I will also say,
one last thing there, Joe. Yep. I will remind you that that was exactly what happened with the Brexit polling. Also, it was up 3 points to stay, and they lost.
For the
I mean, I got to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Now that number that we give is a national polling average, and again, our source for this is the New York Times, and it is their collection of all of the polls put together. The latest poll, which came out today from NBC News, has Hillary up by 48 to 44%. All of this, we should note, is within the margin of error of anywhere from 3 to 5 points, depending on the individual poll.
Distressing that it's so close.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go on to the letters, because I'm sure we have a few.
Boy, do we ever. That's how they spell it in New York, Eva.
Eva.
E-V-A-U-H. Eva. Okay.
Eva.
Okay. Elizabeth says, hi, everyone. I think the problem is that Hillary has a huge amount of policy points and answers as to what she would do, and people are tired and overwhelmed with a never-ending stream of new rules and regulations. They like hearing Trump say that he'll take care of everything with no details. On some level, people want to believe it. P.S., I voted for Bernie. That's from Elizabeth.
All right.
That's interesting. On yesterday's Vox Pop, someone erroneously said Colin Powell told Hillary Clinton what to do with her email server. Colin Powell told People magazine he told Hillary Clinton how he handled some of his emails. He did not tell her what to do. And this communication took place 1 year after Hillary set up
her as exposed by his emails. And now it's coming out that Colin Powell's emails, which have been hacked, has him calling Trump worse names than Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He's not saying it publicly, but he's telling his friends that. Oh, it was Hillary who got into trouble for that, wasn't it? Saying one thing about Benghazi to the public and another to her family. Oops.
Shall I proceed?
Please do.
Dr. Oz from Melanie. While I completely agree that Trump needs to disclose those financial and health stuff, Alan briefly got the HIPAA mention into your discussion. Pardon any misspellings. I'm voice texting. But because Dr. Oz is a doctor, isn't he effectively unable to force Trump just close anything Trump is not approving of? Well, no, I think, as the panel pointed out, Melanie in Albany, the issue, of course, is that he can't tell what he knows about Trump, but Trump can tell what in response to a question, right?
I mean, the way that was supposed to work, or not, I guess, supposed to work, but one of the ideas was that the report that was to be released was going to be given to Dr. Oz, and then he was going to interpret it, and that's all out the window.
Michael says, and I don't always agree with Michael. Frequently, I don't agree with Michael. He says, Alan, anyone in the middle, in the middle is in quotes, considering Trump a viable candidate is not in the middle, but uneducated. Which is Trump's stronghold? Any educated voter has already disqualified Trump. I don't think so. I'll be honest with you. I don't like the guy. I don't like his politics. I don't like what he's doing. I see clearly what he's doing. But I really don't think we can resort to that kind of stuff about anybody who is not on my side is uneducated. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Not anybody. Just half, I think Hillary said.
All right.
By the way, Bernie was in Washington yesterday speaking out in support of the Native Americans who are defending against trying to stop the pipeline under the Missouri River. So I was hoping maybe that would revive the conversation I couldn't start yesterday.
Well, you just did.
I know.
You
we'll
made
see.
Your point.
We'll see if somebody right. I think it's a huge. It's a historic event. Yeah. There's 6,000 people saying we're going to stay here all winter to stop this.
Well,
Pay attention to the environment.
I've seen 100,000 people turn out for rallies on the environment or more, and get a line in a major newspaper. So you're right. I mean, that's part of it. We've heard from a person I often disagree with, PK. Dr. Oz is first and foremost an entertainer. He may be board certified cardiothoracic surgeon and even do surgery 2 or 3 times a week, but he is an entertainer. Okay, and then he goes on and on and on, but that's I got the thing. And Joseph says, doctors cease to be doctors when they subordinate their profession to exploiting politicians. Dr. Oz and Dr. Drew are frauds unworthy of their licenses. Hey, come on, will you please? Trying to make Trump more palatable from Linda.
He is a fraud, and his license has been endangered because of that, not because of Donald Trump,
because
he sells snake oil stuff.
Well, and Dr. Drew, too.
I don't even know who that is.
No. Well, he lost his show.
Yeah, I mean, he's in psychology, but he'll do a lot of he's one to look at a press conference and then give it a complete diagnosis on the person's complete medical history, but from watching them do a press conference for 10 minutes.
I think people should listen to WAMC for their medical advice.
And that goes for you, too. Linda says, as a lifelong Democrat, I finally agree with something that Sarah Palin said. It applies the Trump campaign attempt to, quote, reinvent Donald into an acceptable candidate. You can put lipstick on a pig, unquote. P.S. I'm going to miss the Obamas. And
as we all
take a look at the Newsweek's article on Trump's financial empire, Clinton Foundation pales by comparison, both in dollars and in potential and the potential for wrongdoing.
Can I pause you there, Alan? Because Libby has actually read this article in Newsweek. So,
a lot of it, yeah.
What did you get out of this?
Well, you know, this article really details the relationship between the Trump Organization, foreign governments, foreign investors, and it raises the question of whether or not, as president, he can make decisions that aren't going to impact his own financial well-being. And, you know, we talked about this before about Halliburton and Dick Cheney, and that was wrong. But it was in the United States, an American company making profit overseas. This is about overseas interests, overseas companies, overseas investors, overseas businesses, having business with the Trump Organization, and then he, as president, having to make foreign policy decisions that could very well impact those players. And what is he going to put first, his profits or the country?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Okay. We'll pause, we'll think, and we'll go back to more letters.
Miranda says in Worthington, you just mentioned the latest polls. Have any of you ever been polled? I've been voting since the Carter administration. No one has ever asked my opinion on anything. My father's 89, and no one ever polled him either. I'm not saying polls aren't accurate, but perhaps listeners should not let themselves be influenced by them. And that's from Miranda. When the pollsters call me, and they do, I always say I can't answer.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would call me. I get, you know, market research calls, but I never get.
No, I've gotten Pew polls and a couple of them, but you know, again, you just say you're in the media and then they move on.
Mm-hmm. Paul says Hillary's best move is to stay in bed. Seriously, Hillary is having some of her best days. Her weakness humanizes her like when she cried. Faced with the existential threat of a Trump presidency, the collective consciousness of the nation is clearly in her corner. This can be seen in the way they talk about her in the last days on CNN, for one. May I just point out, we just read you the polls, and we're talking about 3 or 4 points. Good idea. I think there's something to what you say. Charlotte says, Dr. Oz has lost all credibility for pushing useless supplements on his TV show. He's a master peddler of woo. In other words, snake oil salesman. I have signed, along with thousands of other physicians, a petition to have Dr. Oz be sanctioned for disseminating false medical information. He and Trump are a match made in heaven, says Dr. Charlotte. John says, Clinton's poll numbers are strongest when the whole Democratic Party is engaged. In other words, at the convention, she's strongest when flanked by the likes of Biden, Obama, Sanders, etc. I hope she realizes this and let the others influence her policies and her rhetoric. And then Marguerite agrees with you, Joe. I am with Joe. Dr. Oz can have Trump under any rules. The job of mainstream press is to interrogate, not Dr. Oz. Okay. That's from Maggie. Anthony says, good morning, panel. Trump on Dr. Oz to talk health. What's next? Trump on Jerry Springer Show to talk family values?
That's from I think that is next. Yeah.
And that would
be
a lot of fun because I think Jerry Springer would rip him a new one. So,
well, it depends on what his deal is.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Springer doesn't like Trump. So,
panel says Raymond. Thought there is no balance on today's panel, and so it is like listening to Fox News. I want to applaud WNC programs like the Roundtable. There's nothing like it elsewhere. It is a valuable asset to the Hudson Valley and beyond.
Thank you.
Okay. Brucey says, according to Jennifer Jacobs, Bloomberg, Bloomberg, Trump will tape his interview with Dr. Oz in ABC Studio in New York today at 10, but it won't be on his medical reports or recent physical. So what's the point of this? Strictly entertainment? This is a retreat from his statement that he disclosed his medical exam results. Stacy says, Libby is right. Joe, you are wrong on Dr. Oz, says. Libby is right.
I think we ended up agreeing, though, didn't we?
Sort of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
That's fine. We still love each other. That's all that matters.
It is all that matters. Yeah.
Brian says, my fear is that despite all of Trump's disgusting...
God.
What?
Where were you?
I'm leaving. It's about the love fest here.
It's around. No. It's about respect. I mean, we yell and scream at each other, but we all respect each other. And, you know, that's not necessarily the case. And not everybody hears that or gets that.
Yeah, well, there are some people who grew up in different kinds of families than we did.
Right. Because all we did was yell. I mean, so two Jews and an Italian. Okay, we all yelled at the dinner table. Not sure what you guys did, the Irish. But
we looked down at our plates and we really didn't say much. It's very quiet.
So we're used to it.
As I have said, and it was seldom that we ever had a short talk dinner where somebody didn't throw a plate.
Right.
Okay, Brian. Brian says, my fear is that despite all of Trump's disgusting and vile comments during the primary, he is still the nominee today. It is as if the electorate didn't care. What makes us think that they will care in 55 days? Very scary. And by the way, if you read the New York Times yesterday and you saw all the good news about people's incomes and where we are and where we were, it's extraordinary that that this goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It's as if nothing happened yesterday with all of that good stuff coming up.
But we also have to remember that it was 30% of the Republican Party that gave Trump the endorsement.
And I don't know.
Yeah, but we've gone beyond that.
I know we have. But this person was pointing out how could they have done that, and that's, you know, so.
All right. Okay, I got that.
Every step of the way that Trump has taken, people have said, oh, it's just a small part. It'll never go further. It'll never go further. We got to stop thinking that way.
Wow, says somebody who's anonymous, says, would you guys advocate an equal investigation of the Clinton Foundation?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
By the way, I think it's happening right now.
And have at it.
I do believe that the fighting U.S. attorney, Pete Barrera, there have been leaks that he has been looking at that.
Yeah, he ought to be.
This is an interesting guy who writes this, but he never signs his name and has an interesting name on the top, almost as if it was a professional organization, you know, of some kind.
Okay. So don't read it. If they don't put their last name.
All right, we're going to—I owe you a break, don't I, Rob? Yes. Okay. So let's take a break, and then we'll do that. We'll come back, and we'll continue, and we'll talk about other issues next on the Roundtable.
Support for WAMC comes from the Green Toad Bookstore, Oneonta's independent bookseller with current fiction, nonfiction, young adult, and children's books, greentoadbookstore.com. Chesterwood presents The Nature of Glass, an outdoor contemporary sculpture exhibition curated by Jim Shantz, featuring artists incorporating glass in their sculptural work, extended until October 10th. Chesterwood.org for details. Big Elm Brewing at 65 Silver Street in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Tap room open Thursdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m. BigElmBrewing.com. And Atelier Rene Fine Framing Red Hook, custom picture framing in a studio setting, personalized service, archival framing materials and methods, AtelierReneFineFraming.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and we welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. And so let's go on to some other issues, if we may. Talk about a few other things and get to as many. I did want to get to the Mike Pence story with the GOP. I did earlier talk about that. So Mike Pence, who has been under some scrutiny for his comments regarding David Duke that on Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer.
Just remind everybody what those comments were.
He basically was talking about David Duke, and Wolf Blitzer said, would you say he would belong in the basket of deplorables? And he said, well, I'm not going to call anybody names.
Right.
And the question being, well, why would it be so hard for somebody to call a white supremacist and a former grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, deplorable. And he wasn't willing to do that, and that so he's been getting criticized for that. Governor Pence came to Capitol Hill on Tuesday on a mission to promote Republican unity, attacking Hillary Clinton for describing many supporters of the GOP as bigoted deplorables. But Mr. Pence struggled to press the attack. In several news conferences, House and Senate Republican leaders declined to join Mr. Pence, the Indiana governor and vice presidential nominee, in rebuking Hillary Clinton over her remark. He wound up raising the subject only when pressed by a reporter and then gave a halting answer in which he would not call, again, David Duke a white supremacist and one-time Ku Klux Klan leader deplorable.
Which is interesting because you may remember when Duke ran the last time, the Republican establishment types were furious with him and did everything they could to make sure he didn't get elected. I guess it was in Louisiana.
Yes, during that time.
And so there comes a point where some people, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, really say, this is off the wall, and we're not going to permit this, and do it. So when you have the Bushes and others taking the present attitude they have towards Trump, it's fascinating to me, just fascinating.
You know, and if you're not going to call someone from who represents the worst racism in this country deplorable, then who are you going to call deplorable?
Hillary Clinton is who they call deplorable. Yeah. She trucks with the devil.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's
interesting that, you know, he's getting the cold shoulder, Pence is, from his colleagues on the Hill.
And otherwise,
that's what this article is all about.
Yeah, an otherwise friendly morning meeting with House Republicans turned awkward when Mr. Pence was pressed by Representative Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska about Mr. Trump's difficulties with women, said two House Republicans who relayed the conversation. Mr. Fortenberry told Mr. Pence that his young daughter had come to him and said, "Daddy, Donald Trump hates women," according to one of the lawmakers, who both insisted on anonymity to recount a private conversation. "It's just not true," Mr. Pence shot back, arguing that Mr. Trump was improving with women. Mr. Pence faced resistance again when he met privately with Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Ted Cruz of Texas, neither of whom has endorsed Donald Trump.
It's...
Yep.
Okay.
it is what it is.
You're all done on that?
That a kid comes to their dad and says, "Daddy, Donald Trump hates women," to me, in a Republican household, to me means that some of the messaging about Trump is getting through.
Yeah, you know what? When your kids come to a politician, it's different.
It certainly is.
Than if you're taking the... I mean, you have to be as old as I am to remember how abortion reform passed in New York when one Republican from upstate New York who knew he would lose stood up on the floor, changed his vote because his son had called him, a political opportunist, basically. Wow. And he lost, of course. They wouldn't even nominate him the next time out. But there comes a point where your kids are everything. And when
That's
they tell
right.
you something, you listen.
Right.
Listen to your children.
All right.
Except if it's Ivanka.
And, if, and unless the kids are wrong.
Although it is interesting how what an asset Trump's family has been to him.
Absolutely. With the demographic that Trump, being very careful here, with the demographic that Trump is after...
The deplorables, that means.
I'm talking about the white, lower middle class and middle class. His family is like buying a Barbie doll. I mean, it's what it is.
It's amazing. It's amazing how people can just buy the BS that comes out of them. But the thing is that Eric and I think Ivanka is much more of an asset than the boys are, because the boys are tweeting things that, you know, just mimic the alt-right. And it's once again just bringing the conversation back to that. Ivanka doesn't do that.
But don't you think everybody has an assigned role?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
All right. We have about 3 minutes, so let's get to a couple of letters and we'll fill out
letters,
our time.
Letters. Yeah. I got to do letters. Okay.
Letters.
Letters.
All right, here we go.
Letters.
Here we go. Mark says, "Funny, I'm just a guy in Cornwall who leans Republican, likes to ask why you very biased people questions about some of your seemingly hypocritical positions. and I sign my name every time. Well, I didn't accuse you of not signing your name.
What's the position? Okay, knock us. Don't just...
Well, that's
all
right.
He's just yelling because you don't read his letters?
Yeah.
Okay, try again.
We'll
read it and then mock you.
Lisa says, Pence said, Donald Trump and I have denounced David Duke repeatedly. Says Lisa, what? Pence said, Donald Trump and I have denounced David Duke repeatedly.
But then he said, would you call his actions deplorable? And they said no.
No, they have not denounced David Duke. Let's be honest about that.
Well,
they have not.
Pence has said that, though.
Trump has said, I don't really know who he is. Oh, I have to look into the KKK. I mean, really, give me a break. You have to look into him?
And Scott says, Schneiderman is a political hack. The Clinton Foundation should get the same scrutiny. The Clintons are crooked, like the polls that never ask me. The, quote, great economic news has not reached me. I'm just working a lesser job for poor pay versus my previous job, and that's from Scott. Larry says, I hope the American people can see the obvious pattern to public figures Trump turns for support, the president of Mexico, Vladimir Putin, Dr. Oz, and the attorney general in Florida. And then it says, all these people are bought and paid for. All right. David says, I don't understand why the election polls don't include Johnson of the Libertarian Party and Stein of the Green Party. Well, they do. Some of them do. The better ones do, because they'll tell you exactly where they are, you know, in this race. All right. And by the way, there are a lot of phony polls out there. There are pull polls. There are these polls that are written by people and say, did you know Hillary Clinton?
Right.
You know,
killed her firstborn. Eats babies is, you know, the blood libel candidate.
All right, 30 seconds.
John says your fears of a Trump victory are near hysteria. Clinton by at least 10 points. Joshua says, when Hillary loses, we are going to blame third parties, Bernie or the DNC? Please stop watching cable news, says Josh. Mary says, thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, Rosemary, for raising the Standing Rock pipeline issue again. Haven't we violated Native American rights enough?
Yes.
How dare we do so by building new fossil fuel infrastructure that further violates all of our rights to a healthy environment? That's from Mary.
All right. Mary's going to get the last word. Thank you very much for being with us, Alan, Rosemary, Libby, and we'll be back after this.